God sets a father in honor over his children. A mother's authority he confirms over her sons. You can't read the Bible anywhere and not come away with the conclusion that God loves family. And that God gave us the model of how to live together, to raise children, and that we need a family. God gave Jesus a family, the mother, Mary, and an adopted father, Joseph. And God gave Jesus a family tree with cousins and aunts and uncles. And in some places in the Gospels, we hear of Jesus' brothers and sisters. We have to be careful we're dealing with English, not with the original Hebrew or Greek. This is an accident of language. There is no vocabulary in Hebrew for brothers and sisters in the nuclear family like we use in English. In fact, the word for first cousins and brothers and sisters is the same word. And we see the same thing in Spanish, where primo hermanos is first cousins. And so there would be an easy confusion in the language. They didn't make the distinctions that we do in English between cousins and first cousins and brothers and sisters. And it's quite likely that in Nazareth, Jesus lived within a home with an extended family. Some have even suggested that Joseph was a considerably older man than Mary, and that his first wife had died, and that there were children of the first wife that were in the household of Joseph and Mary. That would not be unusual. We find this throughout history before the current medical advances that we've enjoyed just in the last two, three generations. So Jesus was shaped in a robust family. Can you imagine him not having a family full of jokesters and characters? I mean, he must have had a family of all kinds of people. Do you think Jesus maybe ever played some practical jokes or anything? I mean, he comes out of a very rich family environment. The family is perhaps the most important of all human institutions. God gave us the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, as an example to us of true family, a father, a mother, and children. Jesus wasn't born an orphan. He wasn't raised in a single family home. Father, mother, children, this is God's plan for human love. Doesn't always get fulfilled in our own experiences, but it is the norm for the last several thousand years. In the sacred plan of family, we see how much men and women are to love one another. And children are loved, and they're taught to love, and they learn to love in the family. That's where you learn those things. In fact, it's hard to imagine a better setting for the formation of children. There's been a lot of experimentation. Nothing comes close to the experience of raising children in family. Now, those of you who come here frequently know that I'm a widower. My wife and I had six children, and we've got 14 grandchildren. I think number 15 is in the oven, and we're going to see this spring. Our family life was rich, full of fun experiences and trials, and just like normal families have. And I see those memories still shaping my children, even as adults in their own families. Now, I learned a valuable lesson. And the lesson is this, that two perfectly sane, healthy adults are only capable of raising 1.4 children. After that, the children help raise each other. And our six kids each had seven parents. And it works that way. That's what Jesus must have experienced in his household. And it enriches us. The father gives the order. Actually, the mother gives the order. The father, I heard recently that the man always gets the last word. And the man's last word is always, "Yes, dear." God gave us the sacrament of holy matrimony. He didn't give us free love or union libre, this concept of living together outside of marriage. That is such a farce. I deal with it all the time in the confessional and in counseling. It is a lie. Union libre, free love. It's not free and it's not love. What a joke. It's an aberration. It's sinful because there's no commitment here. It's not free. It's like, oh well, let's live together, and if we can't stand it any longer, one of us just walk away. That's not marriage, and all of you know that. Free love is a lie, and it leads to misery for women and children in these relationships. It's probably the greatest cause of poverty in our society. There's probably no other institution that causes more poverty than this concept of a loose commitment relationship that ends in divorce or separation. We're all called to be faithful, committed lovers and committed relationships with one another, not independent, selfish rebels. We learn to compromise in family. Families need good habits and good traditions. One of these is always to attend Mass together, if it's possible. And families should go to Holy Communion together, and they should go to confession together. Parents show their children humility and vulnerability when they go to confession. That's how they teach the importance of confession, by them doing it themselves. Families should pray together. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's awkward. But it's a great discipline to get into your family tradition. This is how the family becomes the first church that each of us will ever come to know. A domestic church. This is the basic building block of society. And this is where we will learn to be faithful, good citizens, and learn the values we need to be good family members and good citizens in our communities. Without strong families, we already see it all around us. There's chaos in our schools, in our communities. Without faith practiced in families, there would be no church. Mary and Joseph presented Jesus in the temple just days after his birth and prior to returning to Nazareth. And together they gave thanks to God for the gift of Jesus and sought God's blessings. What a great example. Let us consider the Holy Family as a model for all families and all married couples, no matter how long you've been married. St. Paul tells us, wives should be subordinate to your husbands, as is proper in the Lord. Rarely is a biblical phrase taken so far out of context and politicized as that one. It's about compromise, mutual compromise. And we see it in the next line, how to cooperate and make marriage work. It's not about the domination of women. Listen to the next line where Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives and avoid any bitterness toward them." Husbands and wives serve one another with compromise. He tells children, compromise. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Now, fathers are all too often a little too rough on their spouses and on their children. St. Paul teaches that fathers are not to abuse their children, but to nurture them carefully, attentively, and lovingly. And when he says, fathers, do not provoke your children so that they may not become discouraged. God cares for families and teaches us how to be successful in family life. Making family work is work. Making family work is Christian work, completely compatible with our values. Working for the good of spouses, for the good of children, for the good of the church, for the good of our communities. God abundantly blesses and encourages families. May God bless you and your family this Christmas season.